Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. This is the end of my second week of some very special programs. As most of you know who watch this program on a regular basis, I usually just sit here like this and share the Word. But for the last 2 weeks, we've been broadcasting my service that I did in Phoenix, Arizona in January of 2012. And I'm talking about how it was 10 years ago that the Lord told me I was limiting Him, and He told me to take the limits off. And I tell you, it has changed my life. This was done over a Thursday through Saturday night. We've already covered the Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night teaching. This begins in our Saturday morning teaching. And I'm specifically talking here about how a fear of persecution caused me to limit God. You know, I was kind of just going under the radar. There weren't a lot of people that knew who I was, but I was touching thousands of people. And I was comfortable, and I knew that if I got to where the Lord had me cover the entire world with television, that it was going to potentially open me up to a lot of criticism. There would be new challenges, and it was laziness and a fear of persecution. And on this teaching today, I'm going to share some things with you about this that the Lord spoke to me that enabled me to get over that hump. And I know that there are some of you. There are some of you that won't speak to your family members. You won't speak up at your workplace because you're afraid of getting people, you know, just rolling their eyes and looking at you. You won't speak up in your church. And there are people who have revelations and things that God has spoken to you that you just haven't acted on it because you're afraid of the persecution that will come your way. I can relate to that. But I tell you, I can look back and say it's well worth whatever persecution and criticism has come my way. And I think that you can say the same thing. So we're going to go into this teaching. Again, this was taken from a teaching that I did in Phoenix, Arizona back in the month of January. And I've entitled this, Don't Limit God Times 10 to Stand for 10 Years After the Lord Spoke This to Me. And here's the results of it. I believe this will bless you. So watch this, and at the end of our program, we'll come back and share with you about how you can get these materials. I've been sharing about how all of us limit God in many different ways. One of the first things we talk about is we limit God through ignorance. We just don't know that God has a plan for our life. We compare ourselves with other people and we look around and we try and be average. You know, all average is just average. It's mediocre. My dad used to tell me that second place is first loser. He was a competitor, and I tell you, I've taken it to heart. I always play to win. I don't always win, but I play to win. And I believe that most of us are living way below our privileges because this is the way that nearly everybody is. And we look around and we compare ourselves with others and we just think, well, this is the way it has to be. Your life can be awesome. So you need to quit comparing yourself with people. That's the reason that the Bible is so important. You need to get into the Word of God and see what people who submitted themselves to God were able to do, how God wrought miracles through them. And God is no respecter of persons. He'll do the same thing for you. So we talked about all that. That was super important. And then on yesterday morning, I talked about how that our lifestyle hinders and limits God. Mark chapter 4, verse 19 says that the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things choke the Word of God. And we have to be still and know that He's God. He speaks in a still, small voice. And really, most of us are so busy and so occupied with the cares of this life that we just cannot hear from God and be led by God. And to verify that, all you have to do is look at how many times you've gone out and fell flat on your face, and then you turn to the Lord and say, God, what was wrong? And He shows you, you should have been doing this. But most of us don't turn to the Lord until you're already in trouble. There's a better way, and that is seek the Lord and let God lead you and avoid a lot of trouble. So we've talked about how that comparing ourselves among others hinders God, limits God, how that our... What was I just saying?
I'm thinking too far in advance here. About how our busyness limits God. We choke the Word of God. Last night I began to talk about fear, how that fear limits God. And we talked about a fear of change, a fear of the unknown, and fear of failure. And I tell you, these fears are real and they hinder. They just paralyze a lot of people. I had two or three people come up to me in the line and say that this was speaking directly to them, that they've lived their life in fear of all of these kind of things. And I tell you, fear limits God. Fear activates Satan and releases the power of Satan the same way that faith releases the power of God. Fear is not a good thing. And many people are living their life in fear. So I'm not through talking about that this morning. I want to talk about a fear of people. You could call this a fear of persecution. In my situation, personally, a lot of this teaching this week is like a personal testimony. And I was limiting what God could do through me because I was fearful of persecution. And you know what? It's just, I think it's a normal reaction. If you, every time you bend over to pet a dog, it bites you. After a while, you quit petting that dog. Nobody likes to be bit. Nobody likes to be persecuted. If you like people hating you and being mad at you and saying bad things about you, something's wrong with you. God created us for a relationship and for fellowship. And the hatred and the strife and the persecution that goes on is not normal. God didn't build you with a desire for people to hate you. There's some people that react to life and they go through it, and in a sense, they cause a lot of stuff. They just glory in rubbing people the wrong way. Something's wrong with you. That is not normal. You know, I don't like people being mad at me, but I've gotten to a place to where I can overcome it, and it doesn't keep me from doing what God called me to do, and I'm able to cast my care about it over on the Lord. But I'm just saying, I think it's normal and natural for us not to like people hating us and criticizing us. And so in my personal life, I was ministering, I was getting criticism, but you know what? Back when the Lord spoke to me 10 years ago, we had about somewhere around 5% of the U.S. market covered by our television program. We were reaching people. We were seeing good things happen, but in a sense, I was flying below the radar. Nobody really zeroed in on me because I wasn't that big of a deal. And so I was enjoying my anonymity, and I was enjoying people not criticizing me. And I knew that if I fulfilled what God told me to do, that I was supposed to just go on every available thing and become a major player and somebody who's influencing the entire body of Christ. I knew that there was going to be persecution that came with it, and I wasn't looking forward to it. And that's one reason that I was kind of just dog paddling instead of swimming. I was just floating. I was just going along instead of pursuing things. And I think that this happens to a lot of people. When you start doing what God calls you to do, you've got a big, huge target drawn on your back. And there's a lot of people that know that with increased influence comes increased criticism. And there's a lot of people that honestly would rather stay in the background and not face the criticism and the things that go with it. You know, we see this in our ministry all the time. You promote somebody in an area and they become a leader. And I guarantee there's a lot of people that cannot be a leader and make decisions because of the consequences. You're going to hurt somebody. Somebody's going to criticize you. You know, I tell our Bible college students this all of the time, that if you came to Bible college looking for something wrong, we've got something for you. Because they're people. Ken and Shelley are people. They aren't perfect. And if somebody comes and just picks them apart and is there anything that we can criticize, you'll find something. You know what? You can find something anywhere. And the more you get into leadership, most people, instead of rising to the occasion and being big, the easiest way for them to look good is to tear you down and to criticize you. And that's just human nature. They are going to criticize you. They are going to look. When you get into leadership, they're going to pick you apart with a fine-tooth comb. They're going to put a magnifying glass on you and go to analyzing things and criticizing everything. I saw something on the internet this morning. I didn't read it, but I just saw some kind of a blip about Michelle Obama and how that people inside of the White House put out some kind of a thing that Michelle Obama is terrorizing the staff and critical and all of this kind of stuff. And I didn't even read it, but I thought they could say that of anybody. You know, Jamie, we were joking this week because they were supposed to come pick her up at 6:30 and they forgot her. And Jamie was totally forgotten on, what was that, Friday night or Thursday night? And anyway, so she's been giving Larry a hard time. Larry brought her a Starbucks as a peace offering, and Jamie's milking it for all that she's worth, you know? But anyway, my point is that people could take something and criticize Jamie and say how mean she is to the staff and she's demanding this. She's not doing that. It just depends. If you're going to look at a person and start criticizing them, you'll find something to criticize. And a lot of people, rather than put up with this criticism and stuff like this, they just don't ever make themselves vulnerable. They never take a lead position. That's what I call a fear of men. Look over in Proverbs chapter 29 and in verse 25. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." If you are afraid of men and their criticism and what they have to say about you, and if you... I'm saying this in love. It may not sound like it, but I just got more to say than I got time to say it. I hadn't got time to beat around the bush. I'm just telling you the truth in love. If you are so insecure that you cannot handle a person criticizing you, you are never going to see God's fullness fulfilled in your life. And brothers and sisters, the vast majority of Christians are super insecure. That's the truth. And they are so paranoid about somebody criticizing them. For instance, you know, it's easy to see this in ministers because ministers won't stand up and speak the truth and say what the Word of God has to say, but because it's politically incorrect. And you can see that. But there's more subtle ways. Like, for instance, if you are at work and they're talking about something that completely violates everything you believe in, it's against the Word of God. Did you know that there are many of you, I could probably say most of you, that will not speak up and stand for what you believe because you are afraid of the criticism that people might have towards you? And in our country, usually it's not that they're going to physically beat you up, that they're going to fire you or do something like that. It's just that they're going to look at you and roll their eyes. You aren't going to be a part of the inner circle. They may avoid you. And it's just subtle things. And yet most Christians will not stand up and speak the truth about something because it's politically incorrect. It's just not in the main flow. And you know what that is? That's a fear of man. And it will limit what God does in your life. I could preach on this for weeks. Use Elijah as an example of this. Elijah stood up in front of a king who was killing all of the prophets of God, and he walked right up to him and he says, "Thus saith the Lord." He identified himself with the God who, if you were one of his ministers, you got killed. And he boldly walked right up to the king in front of everybody. "Thus saith the Lord, it's not going to have rain or dew for years until I say so." And he spoke, and because he was bold and spoke the truth, within 3 years, he was the central figure in the entire nation. He was telling the king what to do. The king was taking orders from him because he stood up and spoke the truth. We won't stand up and speak the truth. People compromise all of the time. You know, again, I'm not saying this for any malicious purpose. Somebody here will probably take offense because this is outside of the norm. But I'm just using this as an example. But on a pack of cigarettes, they will put a warning. Surgeon General has deemed that smoking cigarettes is hazardous to your health. And they'll put a warning, and it's by law they have to put that. If they put an ad on the television, they have to put that warning up. Because smoking takes about 7 years off of the average person's life. homosexuality by the Gay and Lesbians website, their own statistics, takes 21 years off the average person's life. If we weren't hypocrites, if we were telling the truth, you would say, I love you. I'm not against you because you're a homosexual, but man, you ought to put a warning right across their forehead. Homosexuality is hazardous to your health. But see, people won't say that because that's politically incorrect. They worry about what somebody says. The scripture says over in Leviticus chapter 19, I believe it's verse 17, it says, you shall not hate your neighbor in your heart, but you shall in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. If you know that a person, the choices that they're making is destroying their life, destroying them. Homosexuals have over 300 times as much suicide as the rest of the population. Spousal abuse is like 500 times as much among lesbians as it is among heterosexual people. And on and on and on you go. If you truly loved a person, you'd tell them the truth because it's a destructive lifestyle. It's a lie. It's a lie that these are just normal people and it's no different than a man and a woman together. It's a lie. Did you know that among homosexuals, that the average homosexual has something like 20 to 30 mates in a lifetime? And it is not unusual. There is up to 30 and 40% of homosexuals that have more than 500 sexual encounters with different people in a normal lifetime. For them to present this as it's normal is an absolute lie. And if you say that, people brand you as a homophobe. I'm not a homophobe. I love homosexuals. And I'm telling them the truth because it is a destructive lifestyle. It's a demonic deal. You aren't born that way. God made you Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. But anyway, many people see or are afraid to say stuff like that because of a fear of man. And because of it, it limits what God can do. You won't stand up and speak for morality. When people are talking about just shacking up with each other and acting like dogs, alley cats, you won't stand up and say that. Did you know that that's destructive? That you need to make a commitment. Why would you live with a person who's not even committed to you? Hasn't even had a ceremony. Has made no commitment. The only reason they do that is so that the first time things don't work out the way they want, they can leave without the encumbrances. They don't have any attachments. You ought to stand up for the truth and speak the truth. But most people have a fear of man, and that brings a snare. That limits how God can use you. Thank you for that thunderous silence. But I'm telling you that you are going to limit what God can do with you if you know something to be true and you have a fear of men and you will not stand up for the truth because you're afraid of what people have to say. And I'm being blunt, but I'm saying this in love, but there is zero excuse for that in the United States. If you were in a foreign country where maybe they're going to kill you or something, you know, you could even debate that, but God would stand with you and help you even in those situations. But here, where it's just going to be, they're going to look at you a certain way. Give me a break. I've been spit on. I've been kidnapped. I've been threatened to be killed. I've had a lot of things happen to me. And those things are minor compared to people that have given their life. I got a letter from a woman in Iran lately and talking about how that she was under persecution. She had to use code words and sneak this email out and have somebody else send it and stuff. And their lives are threatened. You know what? That's persecution. But just somebody looking at you and criticizing you. You know, pull your thumb out of your mouth and grow up. What has made us so weak that we have to have everybody else's acceptance? You know what it is? It's because we have a vacuum of God's love on the inside. And where you get your ego from and your acceptance from is all of these people. To use a psychological term, you become codependent upon people. And you have to have your spouse and your children and your workmate and your in-laws and your outlaws' approval before you can actually feel good about everything. That is a very carnal carnal thing to do. Again, I'm not saying that you ought to like people's rejection, but you need to get to a place to where if God loves you, which He does, then that ought to be sufficient.
Amen.
There was a friend of mine who was over in Africa ministering, and he started some churches, and he was struggling, and it seemed like things weren't working, and he was out, he was a Scandinavian, and he was out in the jungles praying. And he was just griping about nobody loves him and people haven't accepted him and people are criticizing him. And he was just talking about all of this. And the Lord spoke to him in such a loud voice that the earth shook, the ground shook. He could see the trees swaying from it. And I mean, God spoke to him and said, "Walter," like that, and yelled his name real loud. And he says, "Aren't I enough?" And he just repeated that, and boy, Walter repented. "God, you are enough. It doesn't matter." And he went on to start over 500 churches in Africa. Man, you need to get to a place to where God's enough. And it's just amazing how insecure we are. And it's because we aren't in a vibrant relationship with God, and we have to have everybody else's approval. The only people that will ever let you down are the ones that you lean on. And if you don't lean on anybody but Jesus, nobody can let you down. If you're one that if the Lord was to tell you to move to Africa or to move someplace, you have to think, "Oh man, what are my in-laws going to say? We're going to be taking the kids away." And you know what? You got to fear men. I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned about it and try and present it in the most positive way and make it, you know, as good as can be. But for you to sit there and debate whether you will do what God tells you to do because somebody might not like it, you've got a fear of men. And it will limit what God can do. You know, as a minister, I've had to deal with this a lot because, again, I don't like people hating me. I don't like it when people have spit in my face and done things like this. And nobody likes it. But one of the things that really helped me, I had a person that I knew things that they needed to hear. I was going to tell them, but I was just bracing for their reaction because they were going to be mad. I knew they would not like it. And I was debating about whether or not to share all of this. And the Lord spoke to me and He says, "You have no right to reject the truth for that person. You ought to give every person the opportunity of rejecting my word on their own." And He said, "When you sit there and don't tell a person the truth because you're afraid of how they might respond, then you rejected it for them." And you know what? That changed my thinking around. Now, if you come up to me and say, "Oh, does this dress make me look fat?" You shouldn't ask me that unless you want the truth. I am not going to sit there and say, "Oh, no, no, no." I'll tell you the truth. Now, I probably will try and deflect it by saying, "You know, that's not my place to say." But if you press me, I'll tell you the truth, amen. I'm not going to lie to you. And yet most people are just so afraid that somebody's going to criticize them or reject them. And because of it, they are paralyzed to do what God tells them.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, "Don't Limit God Times 10," was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Every album will also include the Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is titled, "Fear of Man Limits God." It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Financial Stewardship for a Gift of Any Amount. Contact us today to get your copy. A Spanish version is also available. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
It was January 31st, 2002. Andrew had been on television for just over 2 years, seeing modest growth in the ministry and in the student body at Caris Bible College. It was then he received a revelation that changed everything. He saw that he'd been limiting God by small thinking, and he determined to change his ways. Immediately, the ministry began to grow. Finances, staff, telephone, and the mail ministry multiplied. Soon, the little 13,000-square-foot building on Robinson Street in Colorado Springs was no longer sufficient to meet the needs. The TV studio had to be dismantled to make room for more students. Port-a-johns were set up to handle the demand for facilities. Andrew began to take the limits off God. A 110,000-square-foot warehouse on Elkton Drive was purchased, requiring $3 million to finish. Andrew's ministry partners rallied.
Jamie and I want to thank you for being our partners. I tell you, God has done so many miracles in our life, and the best is yet to come, but we couldn't do any of this without you, our partners. I tell you, we've long since passed the place where we could finance this ministry.
18 months later, the building was completed and paid for through extra donations above the cost of operations. In 2004, the staff and student body entered their new home. Today, a short decade after his revelation about small thinking, the ministry and Caris Bible College are once again bursting at the seams. The parking lots are beyond capacity. Classrooms are once again overflowing. One solution is to limit enrollment. Limit the size of the ministry and outreach. Limit parking spaces. Limit the number of lives that will be changed by the truth of God's Word. Or we can follow Andrew in his determination to take the limits off God. 157 acres of prime property in Woodland Park have been purchased at pennies on the dollar. Architectural plans have been funded and completed for the new campus, accommodating up to 3,000 students, and a construction phase is ready to begin. Think of the graduating classes of the future, 1,000 members strong, and more, who'll go out year after year to multiply the message of God's unconditional love and grace around the world. Join the foundation builders who have already given and invest yourself in Caris Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today. Our telephone number is 719-635-1111. Our web address is www.awmi.net, and our mailing address is on your screen.